Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey. We back. We black. We. Brown. Ambition. First of all, Manny, why do I look like summertime and you look like wintertime?
Look at that. The arms are giving. Drop the workout.
No.
First of all, you have naturally sculpted arms. That's really annoying.
I'm the type of girl that can fool. I can fool people in a, you know, like if you have like a dating profile, I can fool people because from the top up, it's giving, okay, sculpted. From the waist down, it's giving thicker than a snicker.
So what you're saying is you're everyone's dream girl?
No.
Yeah. We girl, the girls are paying to look like you. If I read another story about someone who dies from a BBL, I'm just like, the state of America.
Well, they could take this belly.
Oh, you look stunning. I missed you. Thanks for holding it down while I was in Georgia. You had a lot on your plate. I think the last time I talked to you in person, were you about to go to Dubai? You were in Dubai?
Yeah, I went to Dubai. And then also Zanzibar.
Yeah, of course. And also the White House.
Black girl at the White House. I know they were sick of me at the White House. I was like, I'm a black girl at the White House. Thank you.
Oh, please. What do you want to start with? I don't know. Who are you even? Who am I?
Since she's been away. We have been talking. Well, maybe I could talk about the experience at the White House. But honestly, also, I think we should talk about like the State of the Union, like the financial components of the State of the Union that, you know, pertains to like, you know, our audience. I think that'd be great to just get a gauge. I know you didn't get a chance to watch.
Oh, I had a chance. I just chose not to. I had a chance. I was busy. This is very busy. Probably I was watching Love is Blind and somehow I found time to watch like most of the Oscars. So I'm not even going to lie, but I read some notes. I saw some clips. Does it count if you watch the cold open of SNL and you saw the parody that Scarlett Johansson did of that Republican woman that did the rebuttal for the Republicans? Anyway, I think I also kind of knew that I was going to get, you know, to talk to you and like
the inside scoopy. Budgetistify
it for me. So tell us, was Biden like giving, you know, I'm present mentally, like
mostly
I'm young and springy enough for another 4 years? What was it like?
I don't know if anybody's young and springy enough for another 4 years, but he definitely took a V8. I'll say that. He had a lot of energy, which was great to see.
They gave him a Red Bull.
We got to meet Jill, you know, First Lady. Again, she was really awesome and nice and just like really just she's always just really, really, really easy breezy. You know, she came into our room. So just for anybody who's listening, this is the second year in a row that they've done like a creator kind of like White House invite. So they invite like 30 to 50 creators or so. And they invite us to watch the State of the Union, but in the actual White House. Same thing happened last year in that we got to meet the First Lady. She comes to say hello. This time we did a champagne toast, which is cool. We also got to meet the First Gentleman. Kamala Harris's husband came to say hello. I can't remember his name. Sorry, sir.
Dennis? Dave?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Sorry, not
listen,
sorry.
We can barely see Kamala, so what? Like, let alone her husband. But yeah, go ahead.
And then we watch the State of the Union, you know, take your notes, do your socials. And then afterwards, like, so we get to see the president and the first lady leave. They have us all on like the veranda.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we kind of, you get to actually come down to the ground level where the car pulls up, president gets out, and then he greeted us. He actually said something really, really powerful when he came to us. He said, you know, you guys on this, like, you know, the 50 of you or whatever, like on these steps, you know, you collectively reach, you reach more people with your platforms than all the networks combined.
Probably
and
true.
Yes. No, it's true because there are people there with millions and millions and millions of followers, you know, and you think about the views and everything else. And he was like, this is why it's so important that we wanted to have you here because we want our message to get to as many young people as possible. And I just want to thank you for helping us spread that message. And I thought that's really powerful that this is the second year they've done this and how smart. And if you see, they literally have a social media division for the White House. And I love it because it's filled with young people that understand how to navigate, yeah. You know? And I just thought, wow, first of all, what a cool job.
They're basically doing the work of every like grandchild, 20 something grandchild. Like, hey, Papa Joe, Papa Joe, let me see your phone. This is Instagram.
Yes. And so it's cute because his grandkids were actually there, which is really cute. And so it was just,
I do honestly love Jill and Biden. Like, I love their love story.
Yes.
And I just wish they could sit down and enjoy each other. You know what I mean? Like, I wish they could just like do what my grandparents did, which is just have a bunch of frozen apple pie in the freezer with some Mayfield vanilla ice cream in the box and watch Jeopardy and do the crossword and just be happy. Do you know what I mean? But here they are saving us from potentially another 4 years with Voldemort. Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'll say this, that so the State of the Union, some of the things that kind of pertain to like our audience, I mean, all of it obviously pertains if you're a United States citizen, but some of the things that stood out to me were he proposed extending negotiations for prescription drugs. So Medicare can directly now negotiate with drug companies, and they've been able to do so very successfully. So for example, they were able to get insulin capped at $35. Which is tremendous because for some people, it was just insulin. It's like, if you don't get it and you're diabetic, you don't live.
Yeah.
And so to price it at a way that the average person can't, you are sentencing people to death. Right. And so
Medicare negotiating with insurance. So is that for people who are on Medicare?
Yes. Like, to be able to say people? Like, okay, you can't go past this. He's also wanting to cap drug costs across across the map at $2,000. Annually. So like if you're on Medicare, or I don't know if it's just Medicare, it didn't specify, or just in general, if you are on prescription drugs, that your drugs collectively should not cost you more than $2,000 for the year. That's something that he proposed.
Okay.
Because, you know, for some people, like sometimes one drug is $2,000.
Yeah.
You know,
especially if you have something like cancer.
Yes.
I mean, it's wild to me that like my dad has been in the hospital for a long time and we are all just like hanging on for dear life waiting for those bills to start hitting.
Yeah.
We got one medication. Yes. To cost that much. So that's okay. But that's proposed. Yeah. So the Congress got to do what Congress got to do.
The $35 is happening already. And he wants to extend it like that, extend that correction. Something else that he's proposed was a $400 monthly tax credit for 2 years to homebuyers to help them buy new homes. So you would get this, like, you know, so you can
Negotiate with the banks for a lower interest rate.
I know, child. He was like, look, this is what I can do. Yeah, he also wants to get rid of title insurance. That's what would save about $1,000.
Yeah, because like it's such a, you know, that's supposedly to ensure that like so like someone else could come and say, I had the title to this house. And it could, like, throw off your whole thing.
Yes.
But I don't even know how much that happens. So.
Exactly. So it's something like, you know, these fees for fee's sake, fee for the fee, you know? So, yeah. He also said that he wants to impose no new taxes, on anyone, any household earning under $400,000 a year. That instead he was like, they need to raise the tax on billionaires. So there's about 1,000 billionaires in the United States. Mandy, can you guess what percentage of their income they pay in taxes? Like what their tax rate is currently?
Probably like 2%. I mean, because they have all these loopholes that they get through.
Girl, the average billionaire pays just over 8%. Now, can you guess what the average middle class person pays for taxes?
I can guess from personal experience. It's a lot more. It's like 25%.
Yes. Between 22 and 32%. So you're right on the nose. So can you imagine that, like, these billionaires paying on average 8%? When, like, why should, I remember as a preschool teacher, I remember distinctly, I was 21% as a preschool teacher making $39,000 a year. And meanwhile, your local friendly billionaire is paying 8% or less. Yeah. Why? Why is more of my money going when, like, the impact of every billionaire paying, he wanted to make it that no billionaire would pay less than 25%, which to me is even like low.
I mean, the tax code is written for businesses and billionaires to have that access to those kinds of tax loopholes. I mean, that was one of Trump's big pieces of legislation, like the American Jobs and Tax Cut Act of 2000, whatever it was. So, it's no surprise. So I would love to see some tax reform that eases the burden on the rest of us who are like, can we get, you know, my big thing is like, can I get a tax deduction for the $3,000 a month I pay in childcare?
Girl.
Like, that's wild to
me. Yes, it is wild
that there aren't benefits like that. My husband has that like dependent care FSA. Mm-hmm. It's only $5,000 a year.
Wow.
That's less than 2 months worth of daycare expenses.
Like,
you know, so, I hope. I don't know if it'll be like the Biden's term, but I'm hoping we get like a family first, like childcare activist in the White House. I mean, just doing some basic shit, you know?
I mean, well, you know. And so he spoke about investing in HBCUs, you know, historically Black colleges and universities. He didn't get specific about it. He just said wanted to invest in them. So I don't know what that means. Also, too, he spoke about so far about 4 million students have been helped with their reform with student loans.
Yeah. This is one of his big, I got this done.
Well, you know, like, obviously he got pushback. He said, because there's about 35 million students more that if he would have pushed it would have been affected. So it was about 40 million students that would have positively been affected by the bill that he was trying to push through. And they had to acquiesce to something smaller, but so far 4 million people have been helped, but they're trying to still push. And honestly, afterwards, they did like, I think it was CNN or Wall Street Journal. They did some sort of like, a poll. And they said about 56% of people who watched the State of the Union felt like that he had a better handle on the economy. So there seems to be some
there's the economy, which by all measures is doing well.
And then right now,
our personal economies,
yes,
which I came home with two bags of groceries and it was $140.
Girl, everybody I know is like, I'm broke. I'm broke.
When I opened my trunk, Tiffany, this happened this morning. The carton of eggs slipped out of the bag and fell on the floor. And I was like, I wanted to do one of those dramatic movie scenes. Like, oh, no, you were $10.
I mean,
just trashed immediately. Yeah. And I think that's where the disconnect is.
Yes.
So I'm happy to hear that $400, that tax credit for homeowners, that is something that he's proposing. It hasn't been passed or anything.
No, it hasn't been.
Mm-hmm. So something like that. But yeah, this, you know, and it just, it adds fuel to the fire for like families who feel like, okay, things are getting more expensive. The economy is doing well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like we're not exactly seeing the huge wage growth that was happening because, you know, the Fed is trying to stop wage growth because that's part of the fight against inflation, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, so at what point is it too much in the other direction? Like, at
Said, like, he was like, we have to raise. So minimum wage was something he talked about as well, I remember, saying, like, you know, people, minimum wage is supposed to reflect that at the bare minimum, this should be able to support you and your family. Like, and it hasn't in a very long time. He's talked about that. He also talked about, like, he has a big environmental stance. Apparently, he passed the biggest legislation in the world to protect and support the environment that's ever been passed. And I just was like, okay. So because before we met, so when you go to the White House... So like before you get there, we got there a little early and we got to kind of meet and chat with people who were working on like these. Like, so there was I don't remember his name, but he was an environmentalist working at the White House and sharing like how this legislation has been like literally earth moving, you know? And I did not know that.
What kind of thing does it do? Like the, that sounds so stupid.
I know. Like, you know, like,
what kind of thing does that environmental legislation do?
Like, you know, minimizing like what kind of materials can be used in certain ways. Like regulating, like, how materials are disposed of. What else did he say? He was just
taking care of microplastics because that's taken up an inordinate amount of stress.
Yes.
In my useless anxiety bucket.
So it's just like also too, like, you know, like I'm investing into clean energy. So that was really interesting. Yeah. I was just like, okay. So you got to really meet, like I got to meet, oh, what's her name? She's the first black woman. Oh my gosh, she's so awesome. So we got to ask her a question and I was just like, what's her name? Karine Jean. Let me see. Press secretary.
I don't know. I saw that picture and I geeked. I was like, oh my God. I just, Karine, all I have in my head is April Franklin, and that is not who that is.
So it's Karine Jean-Pierre.
That's and right. So, is she Haitian?
Yes.
Did I make that up? Okay.
No, she's Haitian. Both of her parents are Haitian, you know, like immigrants.
That was the country that Trump said was like, what did he call Haiti? Something stupid.
Yeah, it's just
meanwhile she's got her
What I love about her though, so something, because we got to ask her questions, so someone said, how do you manage with like all the negative feedback, whatever? She's like, honestly, she said, I learned a while ago that I don't read anything about myself. I don't read anything good, I don't read anything bad. Mm-hmm. So that way nothing affects me, like, so I don't get to, she's like, because this is how I take care of my mental health. Because, you know, the good will have you up and then crashing back down, and the bad will have you feeling bad. And she said, over time, you develop a really thick skin. And she was honestly so hilarious. She was like, because, you know, they were talking about how Fox is always bashing you. She's like, yeah, they're like obsessed with me. Like, she said it. She said, like, one of my girlfriends, like, oh my God, girl, it's giving obsession. And, but she was so like, girl, I mean, say what you want. I don't care. She was like, it's honestly, it's borderline obsession. But she was like, honestly, it doesn't bother me because I just refuse to ingest anything good or bad. I get to live in the moment with my partner, with my family, with my friends, and do my job. And that's it. So I don't, she's like, of course I keep the news on, but I keep it on mute. She said the big four, CNN, Fox, I forget that too, MSNBC, I guess, and CNBC, I don't know. But she's like, I keep it on so I can know what's happening. But she was like, yeah, I just don't subscribe to any of the good or the bad. And then I got to ask her questions. Exactly. So I asked her a question. I was like, let's lighten it up. I was like, you know, Ms. Jean-Pierre, I was like, so both your parents are, you know, Haitian American immigrants. And I said, my mom and dad are Nigerian immigrants. I said, how lit was the WhatsApp auntie chat when you became press secretary? She was like, girl, Because I said, I know, especially your mama is telling her prayer group, her church, her baby, my baby is the press secretary. I was like, she started laughing. She was like, girl, I can't even go food shopping. My mother would be bringing it up. You see those eggs? My daughter's a press secretary. Let's get bread. My daughter's a press secretary. She said she got to be like, mom, no, just we're just here to get breakfast. She's like, whatever, girl. She said her dad was a cab driver. And I forget what her mother did for a living. And raised her and like her, I think she got one or two siblings. And so she was like, you know, they're very proud, obviously. Yeah. But she was like, yeah, she was like, you know, she's a girl, you know, kid, nobody brags like an immigrant parent. So I just love that. So it was just
that's
honestly
like a very humanizing question.
Yes. That's why I wanted to ask, cause I know it could be very like, what are the policies on? But I was like, girl, let's giggle a little bit. So that was like, you know,
did
that
you
was
meet
a fun
any
question.
Cool, like who were the other internet celebs?
So there was this woman named Econ Jess. See, she's got like red hair.
I know now because I saw her in your stories.
Yeah,
y'all seem
so
like you
nice.
Had a little vibe.
Yeah, we did. Because I could tell when I pulled up, she was like, I don't know anybody. And I was like, oh, I remember her face. Jess, she has a book that's coming out and I did a blurb for it. She's like, thank you so much for doing a blurb for my book. And because I'd followed her and I liked her and I was like, I never met her in person, but she was so nice and so cool. Oh, there was another guy. He's kind of like a fitness model. Like, I guess he represents like, cause they tried to get people to represent different places. So it was LGBTQ. He was talking about, his husband but he was just like so much fun. So we just had like a time. There were some other people who this time around, I didn't realize, I would say very few people from the first time were here this time.
You got a second invite.
A girl. I was like, hold up. Am I special? So you know who was there? Remember back in the day, Ellen used to have this like guy on it who would talk about food. Kalen, I think his name is.
I didn't watch a lot of Ellen.
Oh, black influencer. He's hilarious and funny. And he was one of my faves. So when I saw him, I was like, oh, I know you. So yeah, there was a few people who I didn't know names, but I knew them because I followed them. So that was cool.
And you saw the Michelle Obama portrait.
Yes, again. I took a picture with it last time, but I was just like, it was just, honestly, it was just like a really good time. Although we were there forever, I didn't get back to the hotel till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
I thought you looked real tired. I'm like, ooh, she wanted to go home like 3 hours before that.
Everybody's feet were screaming. This time around, I knew better because there's a lot of walking. So I brought flats with me. So I was like, because I had these cute boots, but then I was like, girl, I already know. And so all the girls with heels were like, I did not know. I was like, I knew. So I had my flats on.
Listen. You are a White House veteran, so tell the girls how to hack it, how to keep up. Do you know what I mean?
And I got invited back on Monday, the 18th. They're having a Women's History Month reception, and they were like, we'd like for you to attend. I got an official invite from the president and the first lady. I know, I live there now.
Do you keep your little name card?
Of course I
do. That in your pocket?
Okay. Yes, they let it go. And they like, so they give you these little, like this fun thing. So one, inside the actual bathroom, which looks like, I could live here. It's so fancy. They have these like hand towels that are like a mix between like an actual like cloth towel and like, you know, like a paper towel with the presidential seal. Girl, I took a stack, put it right in my purse. I was a kleptomaniac old lady. They're like, girl, take out things. And then they give you like these little M&Ms and candies. Everything has like the presidential seal. Girl, my bag, I must have 20 of each. Cause I'm like, this was for Amelia, for Roro, for Mimi, for my mom, you know? Oh my gosh. So like, for Lily. So like, and they encourage it. They're like, girl, we don't need all these boxes of M&Ms and Hershey's Kisses, but it literally, they're so cool because it like has it and like the presidential seals on everything. So everything I could I literally brought like a non-cute big bag so I could just kleptomaniac like
just,
all the things.
Pocket.
Cause last time I brought a cute little clutch and I wasn't able to do damage. And they were like, girl, if you don't take these things home, I had a satchel to hold my flats and to bring home tchotchkes.
I love that. Black girl in the White House.
White House.
I love that. So exciting.
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Well, for those of you who have now been educated about the State of the Union, I would like to educate y'all on the state of pop culture.
Yes!
Because that's all my brain could take these past couple of weeks. So I did watch the Oscars last night.
How was it? I tried to, anyway.
They were fun. There wasn't any, like, big slap, you know, moment. I don't think we're ever going to match the Will Smith, that iconic and tragic moment. But I mean, there were some wins, like in Black Girl Magic, there was Divine Joy Rudolph, is it? Did I just make up her last name? But she, I watched a lot of the, I try to watch the Oscar movies thanks to streaming because I have not sat in a physical theater, I think, since like Avatar 2, which was before I had the baby. I just, first of all, they keep shutting down near me. But anyway, so I saw the holdovers, which had Paul Giamatti and then Divine Joy Rudolph, who played, she had a really heartbreaking role. And I totally think she deserves the award. She was up against Danielle Brooks from The Color Purple, who of course, like, took over Oprah's role as Sophia in The Color Purple. And she also did it on Broadway and she was phenomenal. But Divine Joy Rudolph, she just really, let me not say her name wrong before I, like, is it not Rudolph? It's Randolph. God, I knew that was stupid. Randolph. Anyway, she played this woman who was the head cook at this like boys prep school in maybe the 70s, I want to say. Yeah, late 70s. And her, she's also like a grieving mother. And she provides, of course, she brings some laughs, but also just like a lot of humanity in this like, you know, she's clearly trying to like work through this grief that she has. It was a beautiful, beautiful performance. I'm really happy for her. And then I also saw American Fiction, which had my girl Issa Rae in it. But it was this really funny movie about basically a Black author played by, what's his name? Jeffrey Wright. And he played a Black author who was writing like literature, you know, like trying not to be, like trying not to be, not too literal, but like trying to pander to like what publishers think Black life is like. Whereas Issa Rae plays an author who's like, oh yeah, we're going to write about Shanaynay and they're going to talk in Ebonics. And it's like, oh, publishing is loving that kind of stuff. And so they're basically, he creates this fake name and writes, like he literally makes up a fake book and just like makes it the corniest, like, clear parody or satire of like what the publishing world thinks Black literature can sound like, but then he ends up winning all these awards. And
stuff.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I think you can definitely stream that one. And I saw it. So Sterling K. Brown was in that one. Also, Erica Alexander from Living Single. I know she's done so many more things since then.
I love her, but she's Maxine Shaw, attorney at law.
What I love is it's also like he comes from like a wealthy family. Oh yeah, Tracy Ellis Ross is in there for anyway. He comes from like a wealthy family, but it's like you don't usually see like a Black wealthy family in like a Cape Cod-esque like beach, you know, beach house kind of scenario. And that's sort of where a lot of it takes place. So that was a great film. But I mean, Oppenheimer is like only swept a lot of the categories, blah blah blah. But Ken, did you have to watch
I didn't watch it.
Ooh, baby. I'm not even like a Ryan Gosling fan, but he has the riz, like some serious riz. And they brought back a lot of the actors from the movie to like perform that. And it was just like a highlight for me. Let me think. And Laverne Clark was doing the E! News interviews on the red carpet. And I'm just like, I wish she would be nominated for something, but it was really good to see her. She's, you know, from Orange is the New Black and groundbreaking trans actress. And I loved it. And after I watched the Oscars, I took like a hour long shower because I got a new sacred. I got the whole sacred line. I treated myself.
Ooh, yeah. Is it beautiful? The packaging, I heard it's beautiful.
It's very beautiful. I'm trying to think about how much plastic has been used to create it. But she really took care, Beyonce. She really took care of the two biggest gripes that I have with, and I use a lot of different products, which are that they're really bright and like they don't really give a great, they don't really give a vibe in the shower. Okay. You know, and if for these, if you're trying to like, you know, set, make your shower very like calming and spa like, the nice grays, the whites of her line are just very spa like. And the bottle has like this texture to it.
Ooh.
Where it doesn't slip out of your hands when you're trying to get the product girl out. So
onto your baby, your pink, your baby toe. You're like, my toe.
Yeah. Yeah. But my thing is like, there's only, I think out of the 6 or 7 bottles that I got of stuff, like one of them was a shampoo and all the rest were some kind of like conditioning deep situation. I don't think you're meant to use them all back to back to back to back to back. But I like lit a bunch of candles and I was like, oh, we're doing this.
So I love that. Yes,
I did the rice rinse, the rice shaker. Like you make your own like little rice water cocktail. They give you a shaker and a powder and you're just like, shh. And then there was a scalp scrub and some hair oil and hair lotion. And I think the results, you know,
I mean, your hair is always popping. I'm not even going to lie. So girl, what are we talking about here? Mandy was more popping like pop girl.
but yeah,
it does look really pretty though.
Thank you. But it was nice because it really is like a ritual. None of those products is for the quick and easy. Mm. It's all like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, apply heat, all this stuff. So it was a nice little self-care treatful May.
Yes.
And the last little bit of pop culture news, I mean, if it even counts, I guess, is Love is Blind.
Well sidebar one, how much did like the whole set cost?
I think it was 200 American U.S. dollars or something.
And dineros. Oh.
Listen, hey, if you're listening and you're on the PR line and you want to send me some free hair care, but actually don't because it's too much. Like I, it takes forever to go get through product and I have too many that I just like still have it open. Anyway, yeah, but 200 something dollars, but it was basically every product in the line. So, okay. But I think like most of the products are very reasonable. They're just kind of what you expect to be like expensive wise, like $20 to $30.
Okay.
Maybe even like a $40 product here and there, but not crazy. And I think Bea could have gone, you know, crazy. She could have gone like insane, but I really appreciate her for keeping the price point not so painful. And they're good sized products and you don't need a ton. So, I mean,
Good to know.
Hair is expensive. We all know this.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to talk about Love is Blind too, because everyone is losing their minds.
I heard.
AD and what did you hear?
Well, I heard that there was a black guy that left a black girl at the altar.
Yeah. See, we got really spoiled by the very first like Love is Blind success story, Lauren and Cameron.
Okay.
Yeah. And then later on, the Tiffany and Brett couple from a couple of seasons ago from Washington State, like they were black love personified and you got really excited. And I honestly think that people go onto the show thinking, oh, I'm going to be the Tiffany and the Brett or the Lauren and Cameron. And this season, I could tell off the jump that it was not going to be it because this guy, Clay, was so like fidgety and it's just so awkward. I mean, if you could just find some highlights on TikTok, you don't have to watch the whole show. But he clearly was like so uncomfortable with himself and with the whole situation. But then you see this poor girl, AD, who's like stunning and so excited and so wants to fall in love and puts everything into this guy. And he's clearly like one foot out the door mentally the entire time. And they not only let this girl walk down the aisle looking so stunning, you know, she really thought she was getting married. I mean, every detail, the dress, the hair, everything, the slit. I mean, come on, you need to see a picture. And the little flower girls, like, I don't know if they were like her baby cousins or whatever, but those girls are going to be they're going to be traumatized because they had to see Auntie AD in tears after being jilted at the altar. And I think people are pissed because Clay's excuse was like, my dad cheated on my mom and everything is a lie. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to not cheat. And I don't think I'm ready for marriage and blah, 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 blah.
Well, here's the thing. She dodged a motherfucking bullet then. Okay.
I know, but I think they might be together. I don't know. The reunion's on Wednesday. We're going to have to see.
I also got to check in.
There was this moment that I think the producers kept it in, which has kind of gone viral, which is when Clay's mom, who is the mother, you know, mm-hmm. he watched his father cheat on his mom for years. Mm-hmm. And his dad even apparently took him with him.
On yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. These little like, you know, rendezvous or whatever for his affairs. And you see his mom talking to his dad. And his dad is clearly like trying to, you know, has revisionist history. He's like, well, he needs, you know, Clay needs to meet a woman as great as you. And he's all like, you know, like he's got the Bruh. Charisma and the jokes and kind of the smirk. And she's like, well, no. You did not treat me well. Like you had me. But you hurt me. And I love that she kind of got a chance to like put him in her place, his yes. place, and remind him of the pain, you know, that he had caused. And at the same
love
time,
to not. I remember when the first time my college boyfriend, he had his grandfather was like the first time I went to his island. Like he was like, oh, you know, meet my grandfather. So we were out with his grandfather, and his grandfather was taking us around to kind of tour. The island's not that big. So we're pulling up at this lady's house, beautiful older lady, because grandfather's probably like six in his 70s. This beautiful lady, like, oh, this is my friend Sharon. She was like, oh, hey, whatever. But next person. Then after a while, I hear, like, I was about to say his name, I hear him kind of angrily being like, Grandpa, don't do this. This man is taking us at this big, grown 70 something year old age, taking us around to his ladies. Still married to his grandmother. I was like, what does it end? I couldn't believe it. Like, can you imagine taking me for a tour and then, oh, let me show you my ladies as I think
my mistresses.
I couldn't believe it. I just thought, some people just, that is just who they are. I remember I was talking to a young girl, and she was just like, I heard that all men cheat. I said, that's not true. You know, but I'm like, unfortunately, good men don't have good PR.
And a lot of men don't have the multitasking skills that is required. Like, and I'm so serious. It's a lot of work to cheat. You have to be very smart and cunning. And also, a lot of men are not that.
There are, like, to me, I told her, she said, well, how would I find a man that's not a cheater? I said, the thing is, I think a lot of women who date men, think that a man is not going to cheat on me because he loves me. That is actually not what you're looking for.
Oh yeah.
Because girl, a man will love you down, honey, do a Facebook post and everything else, but while laying next to his other lady. So it's not love that keeps men from cheating. It's their own internal code. Like I have met men. I remember I was talking to my brother-in-law, Terrell. He's been with his partner since they were 15, 16 years old. He's never cheated. I remember Gerard used to always be like, Terrell's the most faithful man I ever met. Never. Like, you know, like they broke up for a little bit, like in their 20s at her request, because she wanted a date, I think, and then got back together. He was waiting to get back together with her. And I was asking Terrell like a year or so ago, like, wow, you know, like you love her so much. And, you know, I know Jarrell said, like, you know, he's never seen anybody more faithful than you because it's been like more than half your life. And he was like, oh, I'm not faithful because I love her so much. I love her so much. That's why I'm with her. He said, I'm faithful because I'm not a cheater. Mm. And it was like, wait, what? He was like, Tiffany, like, whether it was her or somebody else, I'm not a cheater. I'm not cheating. I have an internal code for me that says I don't do that. And it was kind of like the first time that I realized, like, oh, that... Yes, he obviously loves this woman so much. You're not with somebody for this long, you hope, not out of love. But that wasn't the thing. That it was like, I have already decided I'm not a cheater, so I don't navigate in that space in that way. And you know, like, Jarrell and Terrell, really handsome guys, 6'5", 6'6", high cheekbones, dark skin. I mean, really handsome. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of opportunity. But yeah. I just love that because I have met a number of men that operate with that same internal code of like, I'm not a cheater. It's almost like I'm not a smoker. So it's like, oh, I'm so wild. You should be so proud of yourself that you don't smoke because no, I don't smoke, not for some moral reason. I don't smoke because I'm not a smoker. It comes from inside out. And so I think that's really like that love is blind. Like, you know, your father cheats because he's a cheater.
Yeah.
Period. And so if you don't want to be a cheater. Yes. If you don't want to be a cheater, you just decide on that and you don't be that. Everyone doesn't steal. you know?
The fact that he was saying in interviews after he's, or in like his interviews on the show, you know, they do like the straight to cam kind of like answering a question. And mm-hmm. he was saying how he just didn't have many, he didn't have many Black male role models, you know, who he saw that were many Black role male role models who were male mm-hmm. and like were faithful, that he saw a lot of unfaithful Black role models. And I'm like, but there's so many. Like, I mean, Sterling K. Brown mm-hmm. comes to mind. Like, what's his face from the basketball? LeBron James.
And I mean, who knows? Maybe those men do or don't. But as a person, man or woman, at some point, you are in charge of your life. You're not 10. You're not 6. You can decide, I'm not a drinker, I'm not a smoker, I'm not a cheat. Like, you actually get to decide. You actually don't need an example of like, I've seen people get killed, so that made me a killer. No, I'm not a killer. Yeah. You know what I mean? You actually do get to decide. And if you're having trouble deciding, the onus is on you to fix it. There is therapy. Mm. There is group therapy. There is
some therapy.
One thing therapy has taught me is I do not subscribe that, you know, this is my life, so this is how it has to go. Like, certainly that plays a role, but you can, at some point, we all have to look in the mirror and say, I do get to decide how this unfolds for me. And if I need help figuring that out, it's available and I'm going to lean into it. But just to say like, well, you know, I'm a person that hurts other people. That's just how it goes. It doesn't have to go that way.
Yeah. And also you don't get that. We have to also hold people accountable for being adults with their own thoughts, their own life. Yes. And I mean, he needs some good friends. He needs some friends to tell him to sit down and take a good look in the mirror, because even with his dad, he was so fidgety and awkward and uncomfortable, like very uncomfortable. But I hope AD is doing well. I also hope that they stop this stupid show from like forcing people to get married 4 weeks after meeting each other for the, like, it's just not healthy. And at this point, it's no longer that fun for me to watch it.
Because people deserve good things. Like, I just have so many girlfriends and people who are like, oh, this guy mistreated me. You know, maybe it speaks about myself. I said, here's the thing that I've just learned, that like, you know, at some point we all run into both good and bad. So it's not like, oh, you are attracting like only bad things. It's like learning that, hey, when something comes in and it's not a fit, I'm not letting it linger, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, when we read that book Attached, and, mm-hmm. you know, like, I tell all my girlfriends, it's such a great book. If you guys have not read it, it's like this kind of book about like, how do you navigate relationships? It specifically talks about romantic relationships and like learning very early on as you're dating to be like, hey, I recognize this. This is not actually a healthy connection. Because Wendy Williams used to always say, interested men at interested. You know, we've all had a time when a man maybe we were not interested in was interested in us, and you knew. You knew. He called you, he texted you, he showed up, he pulled your hair at lunchtime, and you know, he like sat next to you, he brought you cookies in the cafeteria. You knew, because interested men act interested. Oh, well, he's so busy. That girl, he ain't that busy. Oh, well, you know, it's just that, you know, he has a kid, and that nope. I promise you, when someone is interested in you, they show up as an interested person. No level of shyness, is going to like, now he might be shy and it will look like shy, but shy interest. And so if you have to make excuses for yourself of why this person is not making time, it's because he's not that into you, and that's okay.
Same goes for friendships.
Yes.
Can I
just
put that out there?
Yes. They're not that into you, and that's okay. Yep. And you are allowed to say, I am worthy of the best you have to offer. And if you're not offering that, I don't need to be here. I'm not mad at you. Okay, we're not like, no, I look around. It took me a long time, man. You know, and you too, right? It took a long time for my friendship circle to clean house. To be like, I only want people around me who are kind and good and interested and make effort. If not, why are you here? No. And so I just refuse. My favorite thing I used to hear Jarrell tell to his friends, because they if they would want to hang out or do something like, oh, you should do that. Man, just tell your wife. I would hear him say, man, Tiffany ain't with that shit. I love that. Because what that meant was he knows
I ain't with the shits. So mm-hmm. consider that as you make these choices, you don't lay next to that man that like, it's me. Mm-hmm. You know, because what that told me was that I had created a boundary where he knew that like, yo, if I want to maintain happiness in my household, that there's a certain level and way I have to show up for her. Cause she's not going to allow me to do anything else. You know, I only had to tell him one time. I said, just so you know, if we're going to be together in a relationship, I don't go through phones. I don't look through sock drawers. I don't do any of that. I just leave. One day you will mm-hmm. come home and the house will be empty and you will watch me on TV. I'm just going to say that one time. And he was like, I'm not even doing it. I said, no, I didn't think that. I'm just letting you know, just so we're clear, you will come mm-hmm. home to an empty house. He was like, duly noted. You know, like mm-hmm. I never had any reason to suspect otherwise, but I just wanted to like, let it be said that like, mm-hmm. I'm not the one, the two or the three. You know, and we're allowed mm-hmm. to say that, you know, and I know so many of my friends who are like kind of like in their late 30s and 40s and they're wanting to be partnered so badly. You know, I can promise you that bad partnership is far worse than being by yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
that's what one of my good friends was saying. We were texting about Love is Blind. We're in this group chat and two of us are married with kids and the other two are single Pringles and like living their best. You know, we got extra money left over, we're living our lives kind of lives. And she was like, you know what, it's not said often enough that being single and being by yourself is okay, and like a lot of us who are single out here are made to feel othered and are made to feel like, what's wrong with you? And then we find ourselves in these horrible situations with people who are not right for us to like sort of like make ourselves feel better and make other people around us like, you know, more comfortable with who we are. And in the process, you know, we're missing out on this happy whole life that you can have when you are unpartnered or, you know, by yourself. And I wholeheartedly agree. And then you see these shows like Love is Blind, and I think that's exactly the kind of person they're preying upon.
Like Risa Tisa. Like, let me ignore every red flag just for partnership. I mean, she came up because she got a Netflix. She's doing all the stuff now. She signed the CAA, all
that
the things.
That happened real fast.
I mean, because Risa Tisa, if nothing else, is a storyteller. So
I saw her. I was like, did I miss someone? Like, who is this Risa? She was on every single media outlet when I opened my phone one day last week. And I had to go backtrack. But thank God there's people who have done the work for us. Because you know what I don't have time to do?
To be watching 50,000
like hours worth.
No,
of
I said,
content.
Give me the recap. I started to watch a little bit. I said, girl, give me the recap. But I'll say that, like, I just as more and more of my friends, you know, the thought is, if I don't get married, this is what the world will tell you. If you don't get married, have kids, who's going to look after you when you get old? Mm-hmm. You're making the assumption that your husband will make it. I'm someone who lost my husband. Getting married, even a good marriage, does not guarantee that that's what the ending is going to look like. So trying to get married for that reason, no, I had a great marriage. My husband was great and amazing. But he's not here. I'm 44. He died when I was 41. You know? And so that doesn't guarantee this financial stability at the end. It doesn't. There are financial things that you can do to set yourself up that you can have yourself looked after one way or the other. And one thing that women are really good at is building community around ourselves, meaning like your siblings, your friends, your neighbors, and that like not getting married does not mean that you're not going to have access to like the love surrounding you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, and as somebody who was married and it was good, you know, and who is not married anymore because he's not here, you know, like life is still like I'm learning good despite the loss. But I am now navigating from a place of like, okay, what does it look like to make sure I have things in place to look after myself? You know, like I checked all the boxes, what they tell you to do. And still I found myself here. So I don't want you checking boxes just because. I want you to check boxes for happiness. Like if I ever get married again, which I don't necessarily see that in my future, I mean, you never know, I guess. But if I do, it won't be because I feel like I have to check a box. It would be because, you know, that this is a connection that I want to like have more deeply. But other than that, I'm happy either way not having, because I'm surrounded by so much love. I have such awesome friends. I have cleaned house. All the friends who weren't awesome are no longer here. Bye. Mm-hmm. And I know they'd be listening because I'd be hearing through the grapevine.
Like, oh, damn, I haven't heard from her in a while. She cleaned me. She threw me out.
Who wants a clean house? Remember, Nisha Nash used to have this show called Clean House. But yeah, that ultimately, if you take care of your financial life, you know, even if you don't, like, here's the thing, even if you get married, that doesn't mean, that's not guaranteed that in your old age that, you know, this person is going to look after you or be able to take care of you.
That they'll want to.
Yeah.
That you'll want them to.
Yeah. Even if you have kids, you know, my kids be like, they don't talk to their parents. I'm no contact with my mom.
Like, yeah. And even if they do, sibling rivalries and all this, like,
girl,
shit that gets twisted.
They might be, you know, they might marry somebody who is not, you know, trying to have them look after you. So like, ultimately you create your plan for yourself and you lean in and you love on the people who are here while they're here. And that's the best you can do.
It's time for the boost and break and boost and break and boost and break. That's something else I used to say. Do you want to boost? Do you want to break? What you going to do? What you going to say? La, 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 la. But there was something before that I forget. I forget every time that you were to hear Mandy and Imani used to have to pop and be like, girl, this is the song. I don't know why my brain cannot hold the damn song.
It used
song.
To be like a Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah. And now it's time to boost. That's how it started.
Yeah. There was
are you going to boost? I'm going to do a little promo for my boost. So unless you got something deep, you got a boosty breaky.
Not too deep. I'm going to do a boost though.
Okay. So I'm going to do a little promo for my boost. So I told myself, I got a little confession. I don't know how to invest. I mean, certainly like, oh, an ETF and a mutual fund. Yes. But I told myself that I actually wanted to like learn how to actively invest. I mean, investing can look like real estate, which I have some. It can look like business, which I have. You know, but I mean, like in the market, if I'm being honest, I feel really overwhelmed and intimidated by it. And so I told myself, this is the year that you're going to learn. And I actually asked, so when I went to Dubai, one of the people at the mastermind, we had her on the show, Terry Ijama. I had asked her, I said, Terry, what would it look like if you coached me? You know, I asked her for like, what was it like for like a one-on-one? And she was like, I can help. And I said, okay, what would that look like? You know, do you have a course? Do you have what does it look like? Because I wanted to tap into her personally. You know, like I read the books, whatever, but I still am scared to pull the trigger. And she said, actually, I'm having this challenge, this 5-day challenge that you should join. Matter of fact, she said, you should speak. And I was like, well, I don't know how to invest. She's like, no, I have speakers talking about regular personal finance stuff. Like, she's like, maybe you could talk about how to budget and save some money so you have money to put into the market. I said, sure. Mm. So she's got this challenge. It's this 5-day challenge and it's going to be in April. And I think I want to say day one is like you learn about the stock market, day two about indexes, day three about how to choose a brokerage firm and open up an account, day four, how to actually buy a stock. And I think you could do so live with her. And day five, how to sell a stock. So it's like, she calls it your take your first trade challenge. So I am going to be speaking. I'm excited about that. But also, I'm not going to lie, I'm actually excited about taking the challenge because Terry has like, this is like a quick start. Obviously, this is not super, you know, it's not like, oh, now you can go ahead and start trading stocks. But it's more so for someone like me who is nervous about doing anything in the market by myself in this way to be like, literally, how do you open a brokerage account? I'm not going to lie. I don't know how. How
that
do you just
identify? True.
No, I mean, like I know,
like
I know how.
Not like a trading one?
No, yes. Meaning like I have one. I mean, I have like, obviously I have like Robinhood. I have, but I kind of like feel like I'm playing like a video game. Like, I don't even know why this should be the right one. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like whenever I want to learn something new, first thing I do is like, I read a book, I listen to podcasts, and then I look for a teacher. Honestly, that is like one of the next things. Like if I, like Mandy, for example, when we were, I had you come to the team and talk to the team about like, oh, how do we, what was it that you came to talk to our team about?
Content,
not negotiating.
SEO.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like SEO
because
stuff.
I'm like, we had listened to the podcast. I had read the books, but I'm like, Mandy has done this. So I like to tap into who. Like I learned that from Lynette. She was like, it's not the how, the who. Can you come teach us? And so now I'm at the place where I'm like, of course I know how to technically like open up an account, but I'm not really sure why I'm doing it and what I should be looking for. So anyway, so I'm excited about the challenge. And if you want to join us in the challenge, so this is my link, right? So Imani, I'm going to text it to you. You can put it in our show notes. It's tradeandtravel.com/thebudgetnista. So that is my link to sign up for the challenge with us. And
Yeah. It's 5 days.
You didn't just find like a teacher. I mean, Terry has like number one.
She's a
teachable
one.
Course forever, right?
Yes.
Ever?
I'm not
on investing. Yeah, I love you like, hey, you think you could like how to invest? She's like, yeah, I've taught like millions of people how to invest.
So like, I'm not going to lie. Terry is the best at it. I'm like, I'm being light about it. But yes, Terry has taught thousands and thousands of people how to trade. Her big thing is like how to make $1,000 in one day. So not every day, but in one day. So you learn how to like, make a trade that can make you $1,000. Terry's biggest, one of her biggest trades, I saw her on, I think it was Karen Hunter. That's another podcast that I'm on sometimes. We're live. I remember I asked her about it. She had done this trade. She always wanted to do a million dollar trade. So I was like, so it was Disney stock. And she started with $300,000. And she made a trade, meaning like, you know, bought it and then sold it live. So we could all see. So she went from $300,000 to $1 million in that trade. Now she had been setting that trade off for months because, you know, you basically there's like charts you could follow when it's going to go up and down and all the stuff that I don't know. But, you know, she had been like waiting for this moment, like based upon like all of her charting and whatever she had been doing, that this should be the day that the stock basically should triple within this time frame or whatever. And it did. So she took $300,000 and made it into $1 million. And I was like, and obviously that is not typical because girl, who doing all that? Because who has 300,000? But what if you have 30 to make it into 100 or 300 into 1,000 or 3,000 into 10,000? And I just don't want to feel like I said, obviously, like I know how to do some basic mechanics, but I don't feel empowered. Honestly, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, like I kind of like set it and forget it, which quite honestly is better than nothing. Like if you don't do nothing else, I set it and forget it is way better than most. But I wanted, this is an area where I have this limiting belief that it's too hard and I want to prove myself wrong. Like that's not true, Tiffany. You know, so if you want to join along with me, she's my coach and you will see me there. Like, but I'm not teaching trading. I'm one of like, she like has these bonuses for the challenge and I'm one of the bonuses, but teaching you how to budget and save so you have money to trade. But Terry's going to teach for the 5 days. I'm just really excited about it. And I told her I want to do an even deeper lesson with her later. But for now, this is a good quick start. If you're already savvy in the market, this ain't for you. I mean, certainly you could sign up if you want to, but but if you're savvy in the market, this ain't for you. This is really for like the girlies like me who are like, I know I'm smart. So it's tradeandtravel.com/thebudgetnista. And it'll be in our show notes. And so like, yeah, and it'll be in April. I want to say the 15th
through the 19th.
Yes. Yes. And so 5 days and it's going to be a good time, not a long time, but let's do it so we could talk about it. So I could talk stock stuff. So I could be like, so my stock is currently, I can't even tell you what my stock is doing, like my retirement accounts and stuff like that. But yeah, so join us. That's my boost that like your girl is going to be a savvy investor, maybe not by the end of the year, but at least on the road to be.
I love it. And then if you are by osmosis or like, yes. I feel like it's going to be contagious. And like, I'll also become a savvy investor. That's awesome. It's never too late to start learning stuff.
Yes.
I can't wait. I'm going to sign up now just because everything you say to do, I just do it. It's like a sickness. You're like an influencer. Just want you to know that. Anyway, I want to do a boost because if you guys listened to it, maybe it was in January or February, I had my cousin on, Anna Banana, and she's like, please stop calling me that, but I can't stop. She was on the show. We did a whole show, Tiffany, when you were out, about her career journey so far and like the 3 years that I adopted her and I like, you know, forced her to come up here during the pandemic and restart her entire life. And at the time she was working, like she basically earned minimum wage working at in the luxury spa space. And
we went to, which was beautiful.
Yes. And we talked a lot about her LinkedIn game and how she could do a lot better and all this. I like fought her on how to put a picture up. You know, go back and listen to that episode with Anna. It's really good. If I do say so myself. But I wanted to give an update because Homegirl got her first like big girl salaried job. Ooh. Where she's making above the median. I mean, I'm not trying to give her business away, but like she's making good money to be a single 26, you know, year old something. It was like a huge raise and she's no longer doing like, you know, how a lot of those minimum wage jobs are like weird hours. You got to work on the weekends, you got to work at nights. And so she wasn't like, she wanted, I told her, be careful what you wish for. She wanted like a regular 9 to 5. And I was like, you're going to find out the reason. You're like, she's like, oh, I can do things in the evening now. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to want to, because now you got a 9-to-5 sucking the life out of you.
Girl,
now you're going
to find 9-to-5 just to stay alive. Just a 9-to-5. That's Beyonce. Just to stay alive.
I'm like, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm kind of in the corner like a troll under the bridge. Like, come, yes. Come to the 9-to-5 life. You're going to love it. But I'm super proud of her for taking that leap. And just continuing to make moves in her career and incrementally just make it happen for herself. Mm-hmm. You know, so she's built a lot of confidence. And so if you're out there, also, I think she talked about just applying to gajillions of jobs on LinkedIn too. So if you're out there and you're waiting for your opportunity, just a little extra hope for you. Courtesy of my cousin Anna.
Yes, I love that. Go ahead, Anna. We love a big girl jab.
As long as she's still available for babysitting.
I know.
For free. Don't pay.
All right, that's the show, folks. Here's the thing. This was a pretty awesome show. It was. Go ahead on and forward it to your bestie. Mm-hmm. Your bestie, your boo. Your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your friend. And while you're at it, you might as well go ahead and leave us a review, because why not? Why not? So we'll do a quick review. Mandy, you want to read like a review?
I was right on it.
Hold Girl.
On, let me find a new one.
Yes.
Oh, here's one. Okay. February 26th. Okay. This is new. The review says, this is from Idelka. Mm-hmm. She says, this is the best podcast ever with like 7 R's. She said, I started listening to BA while looking for something for my long commute to work. And this is by far the best one out there. I listened to other podcasts as well, but none compared to the authenticity, sound advice, and humor of this one. The chemistry is perfect.
Oh,
perfect. I look forward to listening each and every episode. I love Mandy and Tiffany as if they were my BFFs. LOL. Oh, she signed it. Karen from the Bronx.
Ew.
Hey, Karen from the Bronx.
I love cute. It.
I love it too. So if you guys want to, please leave a review. If you
do one more, do one more.
Oh, okay. let me see. Oh, this is such a good one too. Okay. I love this podcast. Very few podcasts can juggle being both serious and fun, but mm-hmm. Brown Ambition does it with ease. I love the financial advice. It's always so practical and easy to follow. I tell all my friends about this great podcast.
Yay.
From Anonymous. But we've got some that call us the Big Sisters of Finance. Yes. Oh. Call us Dream Builders. I love you guys. Keep it up. Aw,
I love that. Yeah, so if you leave us a we might read you out later. No, because honestly, when you leave reviews, it lets other people find us. And when you share us, it lets other people mm-hmm. find us. And so, you know, we want to be found.
There's
so.
A reason why we've got thousands of reviews, you guys. And that's not the norm for podcasts. Yeah. So we appreciate each and every one and always for holding us down.
Yeah. All right, y'all. See you on Friday for BAQA, Brown Ambition Question and Answer.
Oh, I can't wait. It's been a minute. I'm excited.
I know.
All right. See y'all. Fry.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.